Hello and welcome to the Nursing Standard podcast. I'm senior reporter Alison Stacey, and today I'm joined by my guest, Colin Pullman, director of RCN Scotland. We'll be discussing the key differences between being a nurse in Scotland and the rest of the UK, and how and why Scotland are seemingly leading the way on pay, terms and conditions, and safe staffing. When it comes down to working in the UK, is it really better to be a nurse north of the border? And what can we learn from our Scottish nurses? So Colin, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you here.
Good to see you, Alison.
First, can you tell us what are the key differences in terms and conditions for nurses in Scotland? So let's start with pay. Am I right that a nurse earns around 2,500 more in Scotland than they would in England?
Yeah, there is differences, of course, in relation to pay, but to understand why there's differences and how that happened. And there's differences because the Scottish Government in 2018 made a policy decision to open up direct negotiations with the trade unions. Now, that was their behest. It wasn't as a result of the trade unions asking for negotiations, but that's where we've ended up. And that's continued on over a period of time. So what's happened is, because of devolution, and those of you listening to the podcast may not be totally aware, but devolution health is an issue that's devolved, which means that everything to do with health and social care is decided in the Scottish Parliament. There is still some legislative oversight that lies elsewhere in the Westminster Parliament, but the majority, obviously, because of health devolved, lies in the Scottish Parliament. And that has developed over a number of years. It's actually 25 years this year since devolution. And that in itself has meant that although we have a core set of terms and conditions called Agenda for Change, and there is a core of that that stays the same and covers the four parts of the country or the four parts of the UK, what that is allowed to happen is certain areas of that terms and conditions have been renegotiated in some respects to actually reflect the services in each of the countries. There's slight differences in elements of it. The core's mainly the same, but there is differences. And one of the differences is pay. And there's been political decisions made in relation to pay through the negotiations, which have led to differences across the four countries. And at this point in time, Scotland, there is a difference that's of a benefit. But that's got to be taken in context, that that still doesn't mean that a nurse in whatever grade across AFC is paid what they should be. It just means that we've got a different starting place. But you've also got to look at the whole part of Scotland that has its own dynamic in relation to the cost to live in Scotland. And we've got high cost areas in Scotland, I have to say, as well as there is in other parts of the UK. Plus, there's different, for example, the taxation system is different in Scotland. So that in itself has different impacts. You look at the not only our cities, but you look at our infrastructure around about rurality. We have real issues around about public transport, for example. So that all has to be taken in consideration. And so it's not, I would say, when people were comparing, saying, is it better in one part of the country or not? I think you've got to look at it in the complete and utter round. It's certainly not a utopia. And the nurses in Scotland have their challenges as the nurses elsewhere in the UK. There's no doubt about that at all.
Sure. Thank you, Colin. And is it right in the last sort of negotiations that you had with the Scottish Government that there was a couple more things that you were able to secure as well? From what I understand, there's been a shorter working week has been secured for Agenda for Change staff with 30 minutes less and some protected learning time. And then again, a defined process for BAM 5 nurses to self-apply to review of their roles. So these are all sort of non-pay terms that are a benefit.
Yeah, the negotiations the last time were particularly difficult. The first offers that were accepted by other trade, well, not accepted by other trade unions, but our members rejected. That then left us with a mandate with some other trade unions to open up further negotiations, because the 2 years kind of run over into each other. And we were able to open up discussions around about what's been called a review of Agenda for Change, but it's an element of Agenda for Change. It's not all of it. We all know that, you know, we've seen that just recently with the consultation on the nurse and pay spine across in England, there was a consultation about the possibilities of the benefits of a nurse and pay spine. In Scotland, the Scottish Government were not in any way open to any discussions around about that unless there was a collective view to explore that. So that put us into a different position, and we were able to bring forward proposals to look at one of our areas of real concern, which is about recruitment and retention into band five roles and about recognition of our band five roles. We know a lot of our nurses, not just anecdotally, but through experience, are working beyond that grade because of the pressures that not only the pressures that have been put on them, but the expectations of where they're placed. So we put quite a bit of pressure to, although there is already a process, one who works on Agenda for Change, if their job changes, can ask for a review with an employer in the NHS. We developed, and actually it's just coming into fruition now, where there'll be every nurse who's a band five will be invited to apply if they believe that they're working at a higher grade to make an application for a review. So we're hopeful that will bring forth lots of colleagues to put these reviews in, because we truly believe that many of our members are working at a higher grade, especially within that area. But what I would say to any colleagues who are working out with that grade, in whatever grade they are for Agenda for Change, if their job has changed, they have at any rate, at any point in time, have the right to put in and ask for a re-evaluation of their job and a review of their job, should I say. So I would encourage anybody who does that to look at the RCN's website. We have some materials and some information to signpost people. So I would encourage people to do that if they're not within the band five review process. The other elements that we looked at were protected learning time. So it's the first time ever that we've had other professions do have identified learning time within their contracts, and nursing and other individuals employed across professions and the entire workforce across Agenda for Change didn't have that specific identified protected time. So we've started with that being identified. It will reads and links across for nursing to time to ensure that you can meet your registration requirements. But what I would say, colleagues, that's a start, and actually it's a principle that's been agreed that we will keep, and importantly, we will keep a review of how it is implemented across the employers, because what we hear anecdotally from our members and loudly is they don't get time off to attend training, and that's not given the same priority. And of course, with staffing difficulties, that it's always people's training that takes the first to be cancelled. Yeah. So that's why the protected learning time was really important for us. But as I say, we're going to monitor that. We'll monitor the band five as it goes live through the next few months. And the important thing is, though, anybody who makes an application through that process, it will be backdated if they are successful to the 1st of April 2023, because that is when that pay agreement was backdated to. So I would encourage everybody who's a band five specifically to watch out from the correspondence from their employer, and please read the information, and we'll be supplying lots of other information to our members to encourage members if they believe there has been a change in or indeed that they are carrying out band six role from the band five, that they make that application, because it's really important. The other
That could be a really sort of positive step for people because we know that there is some problems sort of climbing up that ladder and breaking through that ceiling.
Alison, progression is a huge issue for us.
Yeah.
And the recognition that progression should happen. Our initial ask for government was to review nursing in its entirety. They weren't prepared to do that. Then we asked them to look at certain progression around about grades. So, for example, looking at 5-6 in an automatic way, as some happens with some other professions, they weren't prepared to do that at this time. So the process that we've got now is what they were prepared to do. So we need to support members to put these applications in. So we're hopeful that we'll see a lot of our members will be both successful and remunerated as they should be for the roles that they currently do, because this is about recognition. And as you say, progression is an important thing. We've got a lot of colleagues who've chosen to work in ban five roles because that's the work that they wish to do and that's mm-hmm. where they want to contribute, but they've not been given that opportunity for progression, but quite clearly they have progressed, their skills have progressed. And what a nurse in a nurse's practice does now has developed night and day since Agenda for Change came in 2004, and the system hasn't kept pace and jobs haven't been re-evaluated. So for that point of view, jobs need re-evaluated, and this is an opportunity for us to do it. And of course, we again will need to keep an eye on it and make sure that we evaluate it. We have been working with both Scottish Government employers to try and put that in place as best we can, although it still needs to have further resource put into it. So that'll be a challenge. But as I say, the first and foremost, I would encourage all our members who are in that position to consider making an application, because you should be recognised for the job that you do, and many of our members who are especially within that band five are not. And as I say, anybody else who's in another grade whose job has developed, I would urge them to go to our website and look at how they could put a review in for their job.
Brilliant. Thank you, Colin. That's great advice. So at the start of 2023, we saw nurses across England and also Wales and Northern Ireland take to the picket lines in protest over pay. How does Scotland manage to avoid that industry action? What was the secret?
I don't think there was any secrets. It was all pretty well open in there. I think the political dynamics of having a Scottish government and having the ability to influence that government. And we had the mandate for industrial action in Scotland. We achieved the mandate in every and across the whole of the country and every NHS employer in Scotland. And we used that from the point of view to try and influence, because industrial action is not, it's about getting to an outcome. It's about getting to a better outcome that's been offered. And we had the ability, and I have to say, full credit to the RCA and Scottish Board, who used the mandate very productively. We put influence on government. We worked with other colleagues who had the mandate to try and get as much as we possibly could. And that allowed us, because there were negotiations, and that was the other key thing, to negotiate with Scottish Government to basically say, if we can't come to a further negotiated solution, our members are very clear that they are prepared to take industrial action, although it's an absolute last resort. Mm-hmm. And we were able to secure an improved offer. I mean, one of the other elements, the other final element we didn't speak about, so there was pay and the other elements. And one of the other elements that's just been implemented, the first, is a reduction in the working week. So by the 1st of April 2026, the Scottish Government have agreed the full-time working week in the NHS will go from 37 and a half hours to 36 hours. Now, that allowed us to come up with a slightly different type of offer that we were able to put to our members, because ultimately, every other organisation, it's our members who decide whether an offer is acceptable or not. And to be fair to our members did vote in their numbers, and it was over 50%, but it wasn't, it wasn't 100% and it wasn't 70%. So I think what I would say to Scottish Government, especially, and we might speak about that later, where we are at the moment, it wasn't, a ringing endorsement. It was an acceptance by the majority, and that's why we've moved into the implementation of it. I'm pleased we've been able to move. We do have good record in Scotland of negotiating changes or negotiating offers that we implement fully, and that's what we intend to do with this. The review of Agenda for Change. But of course, we're coming into that. Well, we are already over the anniversary of the 1st of April for 24-25, and we need to see movement on negotiations for 24-25, because our members quite rightly are asking when the negotiations start, because I want to see what my improvement, my pay is going to be in going forward.
And whereas nurses in England have to wait for sort of the pay review body to come back and give recommendations to Westminster before the Health Secretary will announce how much they've decided that they're going to offer NHS staff, that's not the case in Scotland, is it? You've opted out of the review body process.
The Scottish Government don't participate in the pay review body process now. They've made that decision for Agenda for Change staff. Currently, they still participate in the doctors and dentists, which is an interesting point in itself. But that's the choice of Scottish Government. That's where we find ourselves. And of course, we are We have, just to kind of cover off where we are, we've asked for the negotiations to start, we've put a pay claim in, we're very clear. As the collective staff side, we've done that, and we worked through called the body's called STAC, the Scottish Terms Conditions Committee, and we worked with other trade union colleagues and we've been able to do that. So we're putting pressure on the Scottish Government. As we speak today, Alison, things are very interesting when it comes to politics in Scotland.
They're a little up in the air.
You might not
get your pay claim sorted this week. I don't think so.
I don't think we will. We are going to be speaking to the minister this week as a collective. But as people will know, we now are looking for our third first minister in a period of just over 18 months or so. So that in itself means that there may be cabinet changes. We've already had three health ministers in the last 18 months because we had Hamza Yousaf himself, then we had Michael Matheson, who had to leave for other matters, and then we've got Neil Gray, who's the current incumbent. So, and that can change as it does. So that in itself, of course, we are working with all organisations to put as much pressure to get the negotiations started. We believe they can be starting the negotiations, but of course the political, and it is instability, has a bearing on that. So we will continue to try and push that as much as we possibly can and keep our members updated to any progress that we can make, because ultimately our members shouldn't be waiting for the pay increases because of the political instability, is our opinion.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we'll see who gets there first then, shall we? Scotland or England and Wales, we're not sure. But there's a new safe staffing law in Scotland, is that right, that's just come in? Can you sort of explain what it is and how sort of what it means for Scottish nurses?
Okay. It's usually exciting this legislation's come to fruition, but that's one part of the journey, and I need to pay credit to everybody who's contributed to that, my predecessors who were involved in the inception of campaigning for safe staffing legislation, and all the people who work who have been involved in our governance processes through our boards and such like, who have over a journey of a number of years, and I'm not just talking about the last couple of years, but over a number of years, campaigned for this legislation. And the legislation is different to Wales. It's not nurse staffing. It covers all different professions. The Health and Care Staffing Act, that is called, was passed in Parliament in 2019, and we've had to put a huge amount of pressure. Of course, we have had a pandemic, to be fair, for it to come in. But the important difference in this legislation is that not only does it cover other professions, but it also covers safe staffing requirements across NHS and care services. So it's across both NHS and independent.
Mm-hmm.
Or social care, as some would know it. So that in itself is hugely important. We campaigned for a timeline for implementation, and we got that. And the implementation has now happened on the 1st of April. Now, ultimately, that doesn't mean we're going to have a perfect supply of nurses on the 1st of April, and we're now on the next part of the journey, which is making sure this legislation does its job and works. And we'll guide that over a number of years, but we need to do as much as we possibly can to not only improve retention and make things better for the staff who are there, but also to try and encourage others and improve recruitment. We know we've got a real difficulty in Scotland when it comes to encouraging people to take up courses. We've not met our numbers for the last few years, and our numbers are down again this year, which is really disappointing. And it's that balance about trying to make the working environment the best it possibly can to encourage people to stay, first and foremost, but also to come in to the profession. So there's lots to be done. And it is a huge milestone, though, and we've got to mark that as, you know, we do have legislation. We don't have legislation in England, do have legislation being considered, or potential legislation considered in Northern Ireland. So it is an important change. It puts duties on employers, puts in duties on government as well, which is most important in relation to the supply of workforce. So, of course, that's hugely important, and there has to be reports into Parliament on a yearly basis. And of course, we want more than just reports. We want debates to happen so that when things are not being done, they're called out.
When there's not, as I understand it, there's not like a set in stone ratio, as it were, of you need to have this many nurses to be on this ward or anything. It's more to do with there has to be a proportion.
It's about workforce supply. There is workforce tools that are there. There is some, these workforce tools have been around for a number of years. They do need modernised and they do need improved. And the duties are placed upon the employer and placed upon government. They're not placed on individual practitioners. It's around about the organisations themselves. So I truly believe it will make a difference over a period of time.
Well, yeah, it's certainly a step in the right direction that the government are going to actually have a sort of statutory responsibility to, you know, take accountability really for the supply of nurses, which is something that we haven't really seen before. So let's hope that actually it will have a positive impact on how nurses are seeing their working environments day to day. So thank you, Colin, that's really well explained. So what is next then for RCS Scotland this year? What are you looking to, I mean, it sounds like you've already got a lot on your plate with you know, the pay claim and all these new things coming in with the BAM 5 self-reviews and the safe staffing laws, but is there anything else that's on your agenda?
Huge amount is on our agenda that has an impact on nursing. So there's other things happening within Parliament. So stability in Scottish Government is going to be an issue for us in developing a relationship with either Mr Gray is the current incumbent of the is the Health Secretary or the Health Minister, as people would understand it, and whoever Mr Gray is, I say, or whether we have another minister to develop a relationship with.
There will be an election sometime this year as well, so who knows who will be in power.
We didn't know last week, Alison, around about whether we would have a Scottish parliamentary election as well, because that could be forced. But we have a fixed parliament, and so it's 2026. But then we didn't know whether... We, of course, have got a general election, and although health is a devolved issue, of course, it will be an issue that will be fought upon, and we will be making sure that we influence for nursing in relation to that as part of the UK organisation, because although health is devolved, many other aspects, for example, regulation is not devolved. Mm-hmm. So it's not as black and white as some would think in relation to things that impact. So the elections are very, very important. And of course, the political dynamics are changing as well. We've had a very dominant one party, very dominant for a period of time, and it would feel that that's now changing. So that in itself may lead into opportunities for us to influence for nursing, in which we will, as our primary role, to influence for our members and our profession, and ultimately for patients, because it is ultimately that's why we're all here, is to make sure that patients receive the right care in the right place at the right time. Scotland has the same issues as elsewhere. We have large amounts of vacancies across all nursing roles. We have issues with tension as well as recruitment. After we talked earlier about not filling the student numbers, which was is a huge issue for us going forward. We need to make sure that nursing is an attractive career, and that's why the other elements that we're working through the Nursing and Midwifery Task Force are so important. And of course, our students are supported in a different way from the rest of the UK, but that needs to be improved, because clearly we're not doing enough to keep our students. So we do have a bursary in Scotland, which is welcome, but that bursary has not been reviewed for a number of years. So that's one of our asks at the moment. The bursary needs to be reviewed, especially in light to the cost of living that everybody's experiencing, not just students, everybody's experiencing that. But that's one of the reasons that we think that that needs to be reviewed. So we've got the pay negotiations. That'll be a challenge for us, as we've talked, because we are in difficult times financially. The government are quite clear about that. What I would say is things never stay still, and things move forward. And we're very lucky in the RCA in Scotland. We've got huge amounts of interested members. We've got activists who are just fantastic, and a board who are fully engaged in not just what's happening now, but the strategic approach, looking at what's happening in the future, because we need to look forward. And because if one thing's sure, there will be, people use the word reform, or service will change, and that will bring different challenges for us as an organisation, and we need to be looking at that as it comes forward, so that we can input in a constructive and proactive way, as we've tried to do around about the National Care Service. We have significant concerns about where that will lead us, and we'll continue to engage with parliamentarians and, importantly, our members directly. We're very lucky in Scotland that our members do get opportunity to influence the local politicians, and I'd encourage our members to take every opportunity they can to do that, because there's nothing better when politicians are looking for your vote in an election to remind them the amount of nurses that work within their constituency. They would be silly to ignore what the nursing workforce has to say across health and social care. It's not just the NHS, and I need to emphasise that. We have members who work in every part of Civic Scotland, and it's important that all our members are recognised for what they do. Now, I think just to mention, just as we're coming to a close, we have our RCN Scotland Nurse of the Year Awards coming up in a few weeks' time, and I can it's the second time that we've done it, the second year, and it just undermines the contribution and the fantastic contribution that many of our colleagues make day in, day out across Scotland. So I would urge people to, when they see anything around about it and some of the stories that will come out of there, to read that and to join with us and celebrate what is the very best of Scottish nursing.
Perfect. Thank you, Colin. Finally, you did mention that, you know, the last pay deal was, it was accepted by more than 50% of members, but it wasn't, you know, a ringing endorsement to sort of the pay deal. It was, if nurses don't get, you know, a good offer, can you envisage that Scottish nurses might go out on the picket line sometime this year? Or is that a possibility, or is it sort of a last resort type of situation?
I think it would say it's a last resort. We will always go for a negotiated settlement and try to get the best settlement that we can. But ultimately, as it's been across the UK, the RCN gives our members the opportunity, as we do in all employers, to decide on a pay offer. If that pay offer is not accepted, we'll go back and we'll try and negotiate a better offer. But ultimately, if you can't negotiate a better offer, then our members will have to make decisions on what options they want to do. And that will be left in the hands of our members, as it should properly be. So I wouldn't want to set expectations that would be definitely where we'll be and all that kind of stuff. Because I think my focus and the focus of our board is to get in negotiations to get the best possible offer that we can get, and that we then put it to our members, and our members will ultimately judge whether that's, if they think that's acceptable or if not. And if it's not, then we'll consider a position thereafter. But first and foremost, we need to get in the negotiations. That's what I would be saying to government.
Yeah,
so I don't know if the health minister watches your pod, Alison, but if he did, he needs to open the negotiations up.
I'll tweet him. Anyway, Colin, thank you so much. That's been really, really interesting. And yeah, lots of moving parts. So yeah, keep us updated on where you are. And all the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much.